Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
So let me get a full introduction. I know Tanya, I know your first name, Sean, I know your first name, but tell me a little bit about what you do with and the full name of the club that you participate in.
So it's Yuma Desert Doves Women on the Wing.
Okay.
And we are a chapter, a local chapter here in Yuma, Arizona, of the national organization Pheasants Forever. So, and I'm the banquet coordinator, which is a moneymaker for the chapter so can continue to pour into the community.
Okay. So banquet coordinator, I'm going to get back to that, but Tanya, introduce yourself for us.
My name is Tanya Iben. And I've been originally from Germany, which you will probably hear. Will come out in the accent.
I love the accent.
Yes. And I've been in Yuma for almost 20 years now. And my role in our chapter is the outreach chair. So I do the social media, make connections with other partnering organizations, recruit people, and just get people excited about our activities.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So with that, as an introduction, what is the appeal to become part of your organization? Why would individuals want to join in?
Well, we actually want to empower women to come and do activities in the outdoors. And our experience is actually that a lot of women want to do that, but they're missing the avenue that can get them introduced to that. So we hear stories all the time where they're saying, I used to do this. I used to go camping. I used to go hunting. We used to go fishing with my grandpa, uncle, older brother, etc. And then something happens, you know, they move away, they pass away, and they lose that connection. And now they don't know how to get back into that. They need that mentor, that guidance. And that's where we come into play. So we offer an avenue for women in a safe, supported place to explore that, to take them a little bit out of their comfort zone and introduce them to activities that they always wanted to do but didn't dare or didn't know how to get there. And that's where we pick them up and take them on the journey.
Tanya, you mentioned this male influence, taking them on these adventures, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, a lot of times what we connect with firearms and hunting, right? And so what would you tell a girl that is curious about getting into this but feels like she just doesn't belong, or she's scared because maybe that grandpa or that dad isn't around anymore, or she's in a new community? What would you tell her?
Well, I would tell her, do you want to do something exciting, something adventurous, something that makes you feel powerful and confident? And you're surrounded by other women who will support you, who will carry you, who will laugh and cry with you if it comes down to that. And have a lot of fun, but also do something that makes you feel good. And in my experience, that's the journey I went on when I discovered the outdoors and groups and activities that do that. It made me feel more confident. It changed my own personality. And I think that's very important. A lot of women need that and need to go through that and need to discover that about themselves.
What if they don't know much about firearms? Will they learn?
That's a big one.
Yeah. Or even hunting. I mean, you have to know certain skills to find the game and not spook them, right?
Yeah.
So are they going to learn those types of things? Is that part of what you guys help with?
So we hear it all the time, the I'm afraid of guns that comes up. And the way I explain it is a gun is like a tool. So you're afraid of it because you don't know how to use it. It's like a car, like a vehicle. If you don't know how cars work, they go fast, they're big, they're loud, so they're something scary. But when you know how a car works, how to operate it, it's nothing big anymore. A car is just a tool that you use. Now, if you have a dangerous driver, that's what you really need to be afraid of. So a gun is also just a tool. It doesn't just go off by itself. that's physically not possible. So what we introduce women to is we focus on a lot of gun safety. We have classes on every time guns are involved in any kind of activity. You go through the safety rules. You have backup safety and people watching out for you. And then when they learn how it really works, how to operate it, the anxiety level goes way down because now you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, experience and just doing it over and over again, repetition, that makes you safer because then it becomes automatic memory.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the word experience. Shauna, do you guys go out to like the range as a group and and focus on lots of repetition, lots of that gets the women familiar with the firearm that they're going to use?
Yes, absolutely. Tanya, being our outreach coordinator, is really good about sending out invites to all of our members and getting them out in the range so that they can have that, practice that muscle memory, you know, and keep that pretty fresh in a very safe environment. So.
Have you seen a woman go from very timid to...
Oh, my God.
Very empowering.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Empowering.
So you've seen it.
Yes.
Watching
and
that
they have shared their stories.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
Do you know one off the top of your head that you could share with us?
Well, yeah. I've watched, I don't know if you can name names, but Jill, she's one of our members from,
someone I thought of as
from
well.
Phoenix, actually. So she joined our Learn to Hunt sequence, which takes them really from the beginner level through a mentor dove hunt during the Yuma dove season, where they have a mentor behind them that shows them and helps them, tells them, this is a dove, this is what you can shoot. No, this is not a dove, don't shoot that. Which is really...
That's an owl. Don't shoot the owls.
Yeah, blackbirds or starlets. Those fly too during dove season. So, and that's a big one for people who are like, I don't want to shoot the wrong thing. How do I do that? And that's typical from a woman. They're not just going hunting because they want to shoot and hunt. They want to do the right thing and they want to harvest a bird legally and ethically. So having that mentor there and having that offer there is really important to them. And Jill was one of our members who came to every event that we offered. She drove from Phoenix.
Wow. That's dedication.
What a dedication. And attended that. She did our dove hunt. And then she came to, I think she came to Javelina camp. She went to deer camp and actually recruited her husband with her, who then harvested a deer. So she would have harvested, but something happened. She wasn't there at that point when the opportunity came. So her husband took the deer. But I mean, if the husband hunts and gets it, the husband, the wife is with him 100%. And and then this season, she went to Javelina camp and actually got a javelina. So she went through the whole sequence. I think it took her about 2 years to do that. Just building on skills, increasing the network, trying something new, a different weapon, a different area, a different group. But she was so eager to learn. And she didn't know anything about guns and hunting and shooting. And it's, and now look at her. She comes to events. She's confident. She talks about her experiences. She encourages other people, inspires them. So that's, and I mean, that's, that makes you cry sometimes watching.
Yeah, her story was very inspiring. And I met her at the recent pheasant hunt out in Buckeye. Out in Buckeye, and she shared her story, and I said, "We need her. We need to interview her. We need to get her story. It's very inspiring." So
very cool.
The fact that she got her husband out there, you know, hunting is kind of like roles reverse here.
So this is a women's only club, but then the husbands can participate in like these general hunts, is what you're saying? Is that what I understand you to say?
It's women focused, but it depends a little bit on the activity. If we say women only, we really want only women there because we want to create that closed, safe space, that circle.
Not that men aren't safe, just that we, yeah.
They need to feel.
Well, men are idiots, honestly.
Among, you're telling among me that story peers. About.
We get yes. it.
About Jill being so apprehensive about, is that the right bird or whatever? I thought to myself, we're the complete opposite.
Yeah.
We shoot first, ask yeah. later. It's like,
that thing's flying, I'm shooting. Oh, it was a drone.
Yeah. Oh, it was a drone? Oh. Oops. Yeah. That was a javelina, not a bird? I'm going to take it home.
Dragonfly.
I feel much yeah. safer surrounded in your club yeah. than I would going out with a yeah. bunch of guys that you
and,
grew up
And there you them. Go. That's yeah. Yeah, yeah, there is a difference. Yeah. And I mean, we all acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to work with. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing bad about it. We are just different, and we just need to know how to approach that, mm-hmm. acknowledge it, respect mm-hmm. it, and work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
So, what is if you're going to go out and blow off steam, and you want to go target practicing? What gun? I want to ask you both individually. What gun do you grab to just that's your favorite thing to just go shoot and practice with?
I love to now practicing. I love the clay shooting, so I'll take mm-hmm. my 12 gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
And do you use a pump action or semi-automatic? Semi-auto. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And most everybody I go out shooting with, they do their over under, but mm-hmm. go ahead. I don't know what your favorite one
so
is.
So like a break barrel over under?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. We know each other really well.
Yeah. And I prefer not to, but mm-hmm. majority of the girls I go out practicing with, they do the over under. So. Yeah.
Okay. Tanya, what gun do you grab?
I agree with that. We have a standing sequence that over the summer when it's hot, when you can't really do much hunting, we go out on the Trap and Skeet Range here locally in Yuma and meet Saturday mornings right before it gets
too hot.
What is
that called?
It's the Yuma Trap and Skeet Club out at the Adair Range.
Oh, out at
Adair. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
95.
I've been out
exactly.
there.
Exactly, yeah. And once or twice a month, we have an open invitation and say, anybody who wants to come shoot with us, have fun, mm-hmm. can come. If you don't have a gun, we usually have extra guns. We have loaner guns. Mm-hmm. We show you that, and you can come and shoot with us. And a lot of the women try out, or we encourage them to try out different guns, different, you know, actions, mm-hmm. different lengths, different fits, because that's a big one for women. It needs to fit in order for me to use it. If it doesn't fit, I'm not going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have converted quite a few women to my favorite gun, which is an over-under double barrel shotgun, because they're very simple. They can't really jam. So it's a very safe gun. It's very easy to operate, but they're a lot of fun to shoot. And I think for us women, the clay shooting is just the fun because mm-hmm. it's moving. You still build a skill. You're shooting in a group. You have five people shooting one after the other. So you immediately get feedback, encourage each other. It's or. Fun. Yeah, help each other. Mm-hmm. If you keep on missing and you're like, okay, mm-hmm. what's going on? Maybe mm-hmm. you should try this. Mm-hmm.
Because skeet, that's it's tough. It's not just, you know,
mm-hmm.
put the sights on the target and squeeze the trigger. You got to mm-hmm. time it.
Mm-hmm.
You, it's more of a point than mm-hmm. an aim type mm-hmm. thing. I've never gotten it down, and I'll tell you, I actively avoid now the family outing where we go skeet shooting because I walk away. I'm always a loser. My 8-year-old son can outshoot me. My wife's always outshot me. So that's no biggie for me. But when my 8-year-old starts outshooting me,
mm-hmm.
I call it a day. I'm like, I'll prepare, you know, the snacks for afterwards. And I don't go skeet shooting because I get embarrassed every time. Yeah. Maybe I should come out with you guys sometime. Yeah, you could show me the
tricks.
It's
an open invitation. We would love to have you.
Because it's a skill yeah. that you have to acquire over time.
It's yeah. very intuitive, so it has nothing to do with putting the sights on the target and be slow.
Am I overthinking it then?
Yes. Yes.
Track it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The less yeah. you think, the more automated yeah. you let your eyes and your brain and your body work by itself, the mm-hmm. easier it is.
Yeah, and that was one of the first gifts my father-in-law gave me was a shotgun.
Ooh, awesome.
We went out skeet shooting, and he's like, okay, you know, you're in the family now. Let's go out skeet shooting.
He was just testing him.
I was going to say, that sounds very intimidating. Yeah,
I saw him pull my wife off to the side. I'm like, you may want to thank this guy.
So, still married.
He's still married. Awesome. Yeah. So, good. But I don't go skeet
Father-in-law
shooting.
Father-in-law knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah. So, and it's awesome. I love, you know, the aspect of when somebody knows how to handle a gun well, mm-hmm. there just becomes a certain aura of confidence about them. Mm-hmm. And I love the saying that God made men equal, and then Colt made them, what does it say? There's a saying about that. God created men, Colt made them equal. Have you, right? You've heard that, right? No?
That's awesome.
Because that's awesome. It is. It's the great equalizer. Mm-hmm. You go out there, mm-hmm. and I've often seen that my wife outshoots most of, you know, my brothers or her siblings as well, and it's the technique. Uh-huh. That is all about it. And once the gun is put to proper use, then it doesn't matter who's pulling the trigger. Mm-hmm. The end result's going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that. So my wife she's a sharpshooter too. I mean, we go out and we do these kind of things and she's dead on all the time. Mm-hmm. And through the years, this came out, this revelation. I don't know how, but we were talking and something came up, like, if you could do anything in the world, like profession, what would you do? And she said, I'd be a sniper.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is a dream
job. She said, that just fits me, you know? Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll watch my back, I guess.
She's patient.
Yes.
She's
patient.
Yeah. Nautical. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to say yes. There
you go. Yes.
For that, in case she watches
for
this.
For the live recording.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So now the next question I have for you is the favorite game that you like to go after. You say harvest, we go hunt, but I'll tell you, I've gone hunting and I always came back empty-handed. I grew up in northern Idaho where I'd be more likely to hit a deer with a car than I would with a bullet. And I was just not a very good hunter. I just didn't, I don't know, I didn't have the knack. Mm-hmm. So is it deer, javelina, is it dove, is it big game like elk? Mm-hmm. Let's start. I guess, Tanya, we'll start with you because, Shauna, we started with you last time.
Yeah, go ahead. It's a tough question because we hunt basically almost any game that is legal to hunt in Arizona. But I think my personal favorite is hunting quail because I can go out with my dogs and have fun out there a whole day, spend the whole day outdoors, seeing landscape, finding interesting things. I might have not even taken a shot, and I had so much fun out there. But then if we find a covey of quail and flush it, it's so exciting. It's such a rush in seconds that you got to be ready for that. It trumps the whole day. You know, if we have two flushes in 5 hours, that was a perfect outing. And I'm not very successful at hitting them yet. I'm still building that skill. Mm-hmm. But just getting to see it, getting to try to shoot, getting to shoot and miss, even that is super exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and quail season is a long season in Arizona. So you can hunt almost the whole fall and then into the spring. So there's lots of opportunity for us to go out. You don't need a tag. You just need a hunting permit. And I can carry my shotgun, take my dogs and my shotgun for a walk, and I'm perfectly happy with that. Mm-hmm. And of course, the next favorite thing is when every hunter in Arizona is looking for elk. So we got drawn for elk this year. My husband has the coveted early archery bull tag.
Oh, wow.
He's been waiting for awesome. Years. So that's going to be the highlight of our year, that hunt.
And archery, holy smokes, that is a real skill too. You've got to be close.
He is very adamant, and he is annoyingly very good with it.
Yeah. So you shoot bow and arrow too?
I shoot it. Yes, I'm not as dedicated as him. That's why I'm not that good of a shooter. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely a really great activity because it requires the same skills, you know, focus, building up your muscle memory. And you know, there's a lot of technology involved with the compound bows. There's always fiddling around, physics, etc. And we have a really good archery club, the Southwest Bow Hunters, out there at Adair Range that are super helpful if you have questions, that help you out with anything. And it's a good group to shoot with. Mm-hmm. So they meet every Sunday morning and you can just shoot the 3D, the foam animals, which is a simulation of the real game that you hunt. So that's a great community and that's a really good thing to get into. But then transferring that to a real animal, I personally am not ready to do that. But I have faith in my husband. I'm very proud of him that he's at that level where he can do it. Yeah.
Hit the mark.
Yeah.
Even when it's moving, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, I've always been fascinated by bow.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's just so, to me, it's just awesome to watch that, to see such a long distance and just, my brother has a compound bow and he would practice in the backyard. Like, he, you know, he had a long backyard and it's just so graceful, silent. It's just beautiful to watch.
you feel the power.
Yeah. It's
you like
cool.
go and thud and it's like, whoa. Yes, wild. It's primal. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. When things go crazy, you know, you can always just have a bow.
Yeah.
You might not always have ammunition, but you can find arrows.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope I didn't take your thunder.
No, not at all. I would agree with the quail.
Really?
The
quail is your first favorite?
Only because I like the challenge, and it's very rare that I harvest.
Mm.
But when I do harvest, it's very rewarding. Mm-hmm. And they are a beautiful species as well. But it's the technicality behind it, just being able to, one, flush out a cubby is an art in itself. And then, as far as like just the most rewarding, because like I said, the harvest is it's very rare that I harvest because of the difficulty of the hunt. But as far as experience, I like to walk away with the camaraderie when we do the deer hunt. So when we do get drawn for tags for our deer season, my husband and I will go on the tags together. And then a couple of friends also they'll apply for on that same tag.
You have
with
two
us.
People on a tag.
Mm-hmm. You can have up to four.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So we'll have another couple join us on that tag, and they come from California. So we bring California resources over here to Arizona, obviously. And we do the hunt together. So that time together is very precious. So as far as experience versus the challenge, my challenge is the quail hunt, but my favorite experience with family and friends would be our deer hunt. It's like a 15-day hunt for us, so we're out there and we we take our trailer out there and just the memories and the time out there and just kind of getting lost out there and tracking them down and seeing how they live.
Camping, getting outdoors, I love to do. Doing it with a purpose just adds that extra layer to it. And having everybody committed to a single goal seems to really bring it together. All the little things, all the petty things of the world kind of melt away. And I don't hunt. I don't fish right now. And maybe that's why I'm so wound up and stressed out. Maybe I need...
Amen.
Do you hunt, Adam?
No.
But you have guns.
Yeah, I have a lot of guns. Yeah, no, when I was a kid, I mean, teenager, I would, with my friends, we would, I don't call it hunting. We would just shoot rabbits and quail, sometimes quail and stuff. And when you were talking about quail, it's like, I've always had a hard time eating what I kill. I don't know why. It just grosses me out, you know, because you have to clean it and all that stuff. By the time I get done with all that, I lose my appetite.
Well, probably you're not a very good cook, because it's how you prepare it, too.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's always been, you know, something where I just have a hard time, whether it's a chicken that I butchered or it's a quail that I cleaned. I just have a hard time eating it after I do that. I don't know why.
I'm the same way. I love chicken. But I killed a chicken last year because we've got some chickens and I couldn't eat it. But I did roast it over a fire that I created out in the field right then and there, mm-hmm. and it was super chewy. Mm.
So. I think yeah. that's
preparation.
Yeah, sure. I think that's the case. So how about you eat your own game when you clean it and all that stuff?
Absolutely.
You just take pride in it?
And we mm-hmm. share it, and we feed the neighbors. I host a ton of parties at my house, and it is always with our harvest that I prepare the meals. So it's like breaking bread.
Yes, and that's what I was going to say.
The tradition of breaking bread.
I found that with hunters is mm-hmm. they love to have people over mm-hmm. and say, hey, you know, this is the deer that we got. Mm-hmm. This is the elk mm-hmm. that we got. And mm-hmm. or, you know, fishermen too.
Yeah.
You know, we went and we caught the fish. And for some reason, there's this air of confidence and this, like, sense of fulfillment. Like, mm-hmm. we went. We acquired this. Mm-hmm. We didn't just go buy it at the grocery store, mm-hmm. and you want to go and share it, and then yeah, you have your friends and family over.
There's
so
a story behind
there's a story
it.
Behind
there is,
it. There's
and so it, many it's more memories. Meaningful for some reason.
Yeah.
I've always felt I've gone to those parties, and I've always looked at that with a bit of envy. Mm-hmm. So I can understand what you're saying. I haven't mm-hmm. felt it though. Mm-hmm. I guess what is your favorite game to eat then?
It used to be dove. Now it's deer, mm-hmm. venison. So
dove. Huh?
Elk is amazing prepared correctly.
Elk stroganoff is my favorite meal of all time.
Not one we've tried. I'll have to incorporate that. Learn how to master that.
There you go. But dove, I've never actually eaten dove. I mean, I have eaten it, but I've never eaten it prepared in a way that like I was like, oh, yeah, that's a gourmet meal. I ate it in a way that I roasted over the fire. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tanya, what's your favorite game?
I think it's my deer meatballs that I make.
Really?
Yes.
What do you mix them with? Beef as well.
There is
give it a little fat because
there is a little bit of fat in there. So I don't make the ground meat right now. We have it from the processor from the mm-hmm. butcher, but that's a goal making it by myself. But I'm just making it traditionally like you make normal meatballs, you know, spices, mm-hmm. egg, breadcrumbs. And I like to combine it with like a cream mushroom sauce and then homemade German mm-hmm. spätzle with it.
Yum.
I was going to say, this all sounds very German to me.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely influenced. Yes.
Very cool. Awesome.
And to talk about the sharing, I'm going to becoming an outdoors women's camp this weekend. That's where I started out with a big part of my journey about 13 years ago. And they have an event in the evening on the first day where they prepare a game tasting buffet where different people, mentors, instructors, bring like something to taste. And then everybody gets to go and eat a little spoonful as an appetizer and try different kinds of game. And I've had so many different species that I personally wasn't able to hunt. Bison, buffalo, that's so hard to do. Mountain lion, bear, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So this time I'm going as a volunteer and mentor, and now I can share what I harvested. So it took a long time. It took 13 years to get there.
Wow.
But now I'm bringing my deer meatballs and a pheasant chucker stew for the ladies to try. It's going to be about 60 to 70 participants.
Mm-hmm. Are you going, Shauna?
I am not, no. So my goal is to do the one in September in Prescott. So you're going to Prescott, right?
Yes.
That's where this one is. So they have a fall one and then they have their summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Bow, so becoming an outdoor woman.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I look forward to the one in the summer because my family's up there during the summer in Prescott. They get out of Yuma, get into some cooler weather. Mm-hmm. So we go up there and visit them while they're snowbirding.
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 Yeah, they might. Yeah. So you are the banquet coordinator. Is that the right term?
Yes.
And the reason I kind of chuckled at that at first, it wasn't because I thought it was not important. It was because I thought that's the ultimate goal, is to actually have some food at the end of the day, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You know, none of us want to go out hunting and then come home and eat top ramen.
Right.
No, we want to eat some meat.
Also, when you're in camp, you usually end up doing that.
That's right. That's, yeah.
Yeah, that's the typical meal.
Uh-huh.
So, in camp. Shauna, why don't you give us a plug for the upcoming banquet? It's in June, right?
So it is, yes. So
June 7th?
It's June 7th, yes. So we have our dinner, lots of games. We have a live auction as well. A lot of local supporters have
pitched in.
We are very still cool. looking for sponsorship packages, purchase. So the sponsorship is a lot of our businesses will purchase, say, $1,000 package, mm-hmm. and it feeds, you know, a party of eight. Mm-hmm. They get $250 worth of raffle tickets. So meals, raffle tickets, memberships. They get a ton of memberships.
And the recognition.
And then the recognition. Yeah, the sponsorship is huge. She puts together a great slideshow for the recognition with all of our sponsors. So we do have some pretty committed sponsors, but we are looking for more. We have our cocktail hour. So the cocktail hour is doors open. You do your registration. You get your bitter card. And then you just do the cocktail hour with us. And then we have a live auctioneer.
Very
spirited. I love his energy. I don't know if you guys know Johnny Porter with, the radio station. Mm-hmm. So 100.9, but he's no longer. So we're not quite sure where he's at right now, but he is our guy that night. He's a lot of fun, a lot of energy. The games are amazing. They're packaged with gun tickets, so you can actually get your name in to for a ticket to put your name in for a drawing to win a gun. Mm-hmm. The live auctions, we have booze,
hunt packages,
mm-hmm. gun raffle, or guns, you know, mm-hmm. packaged with those hunt packages.
Is Leah coming again?
Oh, we have a live painter. So Leah Littlewood, she does live.
Like, I'll just sit there on a chair and she'll paint me right there.
Well, not people, but she's creating on this big, huge canvas.
Oh. And then you auction that.
And then we auction it off. So you get to see it.
Bob Ross.
Amazing.
Oh my God.
It is amazing. I wanted that painting
so bad.
It's this year. It's methodical, kind of.
I have to talk with my husband.
Yeah, just to watch it come alive. Yeah. It's amazing. So we have
been doing 2 hours.
It's beautiful, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who bought that one. I think it was one of our members who actually bought that.
Where is this going to be then?
So this is at the Elks. Yeah, so June 7th at the Elks. Elks is off of 32nd 95? Down past Avenue A. 32nd between A and B.
32nd between...
A and B.
YMCA.
Former YMCA.
Used to be there.
Yes.
Yep. Down the hill.
Yep. Okay. Just after the Dunes subdivision.
The Elks has done really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a member there. I love the Elks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so booze, guns, and lots of swag. Just a lot of hunting swag we're going to have. You know, tickets, you just buy raffle tickets. You just throw your name in the bucket for the prize that you want. And there's going to be a lucky winner. So, yeah, it's exciting. Dinner is phenomenal. My brother-in-law does a smoked pork type brisket. Pulled pork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's amazing at what he does.
Have either of you gone out and gone out on those hog hunts in Texas?
No.
I think they do them in Oklahoma, too.
From a helicopter?
Well, you know, some do them from the helicopter, some do them in trucks, but I mean, there's just millions of wild hogs out there tearing up
species.
Yeah, that are just tearing up the land and creating a big health issue because if they have some type of disease and it's uncontrollable because they spread it so quickly. Mm-hmm. And I know China dealt with that for a long time, and we are dealing with that. It's not reported nearly enough, but they just reproduce quicker than they could possibly be killed. And that's been a big issue. Do you have members that have gone out there and done that? Or is that just something that's more of a one-time thing?
That's probably a bucket
thing?
List.
Yeah.
We have a member who hunts hogs in California.
Mm-hmm. Wild hogs.
Wild hogs. Mm-hmm.
What are they, like the 600 pounders?
I think they're pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we know, like, we have wild hogs here. Like, the javelina, mm-hmm. I would consider wild hog, right?
Mm-hmm. They're technically not a pig, not a hog, but everybody
not?
Looks like.
What are they?
They're in a peccary family. Peccary, so it's more related.
Like a tapir from South
America? Yeah, it's actually more related to rats, mice.
Oh, rats. Really? Like a rodent?
Actually, yeah. If you look at the, you know, the biological heritage. Mm-hmm. But they look so much, that's, you know, that's how nature works for you. They create the same thing that looks similar, although it's coming from a different origin. So.
Yeah.
So we call them pigs.
Mm-hmm. But they can't breed with pigs. Okay.
Interesting.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just huge razorbacks.
Uh-huh. Right.
So it seems to be, and I want to phrase this correctly, this conundrum between going out and hunting and loving wildlife. Mm-hmm. And there is this misnomer that if you go out and you kill animals, then you don't love animals. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. How could you?
I mm-hmm. tell you how what, the people that I've been around that are very adamant hunters, and I've already confessed that I'm not one of them, they love wildlife. Mm-hmm. They love the outdoors, and they want to keep the streams clean. They want to keep the forest pristine. Mm-hmm. They want to maintain them. And it's not all about just hands off. It's mm-hmm. about participating, active participation in keeping mm-hmm. our forests healthy and the wildlife abundant. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit about that misconception that's out there between, you know, the just stop oilers out there that mm-hmm. say, don't touch our forests, mm-hmm. and the people that are actually in the forest and saying, no, we need to touch them, and our participation actually creates a healthy environment for both us and them.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave this one to Tanya because we actually spoke about this yesterday evening. I mean, well, the mm-hmm. evening before we were given a perfect opportunity with our local Arizona Game and Fish. So I'll let her touch on that. She has some good insight there.
The way I explain it is if you love something, you protect it and you're willing to throw money and effort and volunteer hours behind it. So money and labor. So if you don't love it, if you're not exposed to it, there is no support for it. So hunters, of course, mm-hmm. love wild game, wildlife in general, habitat, the local areas where you can go and recreate. But hunters are the ones who are willing to step up and preserve it. Mm-hmm. With their purse and also, you know, with their arms and providing labor. And a lot of people who are doing outdoors activities cannot support it because they don't have an avenue to support it. There is the Pittman-Robinson Act that provides funding for game and fish and habitat and conservation projects. It's a tax specifically on products that hunters use.
Mm-hmm.
So guns, ammo, certain outdoor gear that is taxed, and that's where the money comes from. Whereas people who don't hunt, mm-hmm. they don't pay those taxes because they buy other items.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's a good idea to tax those things?
Well, you know, it's a necessary evil because it provides the necessary funding, and mm-hmm. hunters don't complain. They're happily, willingly pay that because they know where the funding goes, that it goes to something that they're supporting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'd so be interesting, though, to take a pool of people that live in the inner cities and say, how important is it to preserve wildlife?
Right.
Uh-huh. I would think that it'd be just as high as individuals that live in rural areas that are hunters. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, well, if you think it's important, then uh-huh. let's apply the tax equally. Exactly. And the hunters will be out there actually contributing the man hours to do what the tax is meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it is focused all on the hunters who are actually funding the...
It's a little disproportionate.
It is disproportionate.
Yeah. But that's one leg. And then the other leg is just active volunteerism. We have a lot of nonprofit organizations, specifically in the state of Arizona, that take it upon them to provide active support to our agencies. And our group is focused on becoming one of them. So we are looking to support local habitat projects. Mm-hmm. And we've just recently have been approached with a great opportunity of a project that we really would like to support. So usually habitat projects in the state of Arizona, we're living in a desert, have something to do with providing water to wildlife. Mm-hmm. It's either building or recreating infrastructure to provide water, and because the water then provides the life for wildlife. So that's how they survive, and that's how we keep wildlife in the state of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And so these habitat projects are something that a lot of hunting and we call them critter groups provide support. Critter groups, because there's the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, there's Quail Forever, Pheasants Forever, there's the Mule Deer Foundation, there's the Arizona Antelope Association. So every mm-hmm. species usually has a group behind them mm-hmm. that they're focusing on. And what these groups are doing is, A, they're providing the support if you want to go hunt that species. They help you with teaching you, building those skills. But they also provide volunteers to help out with habitat and conservation projects to keep that species alive.
Mm-hmm.
So we are Pheasants and Quail Forever. So we are focused on having something that will provide habitat for quail, which in return provides habitat for all the other species there too. Because if we build a drinker for quail, it's going to be used by everything else that's out there.
That's visiting in the area.
So we've been approached to help out with a really great project that a lot of work has been put into already. And we're currently looking at our funding opportunities that we can help fund that either financially and then also with volunteer hours. And that now provides us one of the reasons to really excitedly support our banquet, because mm-hmm. that's what we really want to do with that money that we're raising. We want to provide activities for women, give them the chance to try something out, and we also want to provide the habitat projects mm-hmm. so that we have something that we can offer them mm-hmm. later. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask that, what does this money go to? Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like this is probably your big annual event, right? Mm-hmm. Every year, mm-hmm. big yeah. money maker.
It is.
Besides dues, this is where you kind of got to bring in the dough in order to fund activities
throughout the year
to come, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what does that money usually go to? Paying fees and stuff like that?
Usually a big one is ammo for shooting events.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's not so much bring your own gun or firearm and ammo.
Preferably, but if you want to open opportunities, that's a big threshold for a lot of women.
Yeah.
They don't know what to buy, what goes with, what's a good fit. And So by us being able to provide that and give them an avenue to try out different things, that's very important to get them interested and make them realize, is this something I can do? This is nothing I have to be scared of. It's nothing that I'm not capable of doing.
Right.
And then when we provide some hunt opportunities mm-hmm. where they pay a share, but the club pays a share just to make
mitigate the expenses.
To make it attractive enough that they're saying, oh, I've never done this. I don't know if I'm comfortable, but I have nothing to lose. Yeah. So I'm going to go and do that.
But what a beautiful opportunity if we do so well with the banquet, right? To mm-hmm. be able to offer free to no cost workshops like mm-hmm. this and opportunities for our local hunters who, one, do they want to invest? And then they start seeing, oh gosh, that's a huge investment. Mm-hmm. Now I'm discouraged because of the cost of the mm-hmm. you know the hunt or the ammo mm-hmm. or whatever the art of hunting. So I mean, a goal would be in a perfect world to offer the free mm-hmm. or no cost workshops to our local girls and help them along their journey and grow them so that they don't feel, I guess, breaking down borders, you know, what are the barriers there? And let's do that. And if our banquet and all of the resources from our banquet can offer that opportunity, well, then of course, why not? And also, it also allows us the opportunity to partner with local wildlife conservation mm-hmm. to support the conservation and preservation of the sport as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would be in a perfect world. That's my dream. And so that's what we're pushing for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we are out of time. You want to plug your banquet one more time?
Absolutely. So June 7th, we hope to see everybody out there. June 7th, doors open at 4:30. Dinner is at 6. There's a ton of fun. You can find it at our Facebook page is probably the easiest mm-hmm. instead of rambling off.
So when they're looking at the for mm-hmm. Facebook, search on Facebook, what do they search?
So Yuma Desert Doves. Women on the Wing, and then you'll find our events there and check out our fourth annual event. It's going to be a lot of fun. June 7th.
Yuma Desert Doves, Women on the Wing.
Yes.
It's kind of opposite of Men on the Lamb.
Yes.
Can we make a plug for our Learn to Hunt program?
Sure.
You can do whatever you want. Yes. This is free advertising for you.
Cool. Appreciate it. So this is a program that our good friend Catherine Thompson, in partnership with the Arizona Game and Fish Department, is offering. So we are supporting the program, but she's running it out of the Game and Fish office. And it's a sequence of workshops for 5 months, once a month. We're offering a workshop that gets women interested in giving them the skills for hunting. So there's no previous experience required. Mm-hmm. It includes a trap shoot. It includes a game tasting, gun safety workshop, presentation about how to hunt dove. And then, as I said, it's a mentor dove hunt during the Yuma dove season. We're expecting about 20 women to go through that, and we are currently recruiting. We still have spots available for that, so we would really like to fill them all and have them join our group. So if you're interested in that, we can give Catherine's phone number. She is the one who will get you through the registration process and explain what the details are, because we want a little bit of commitment. It's an awesome program. Mm-hmm. It's almost free, $25. Mm-hmm. So you get a lot for that. Mm-hmm. And we actually have people coming from Tucson and from Phoenix to this program because they're saying there's nothing else in the state of Arizona. So we really want to do that. Yeah.
So this is for adult women then?
It probably is not for adult. For
teenagers. Well, yeah, what is the age group?
It's 18 and over.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For liability reasons. Sure.
Yeah. When does this start? Sorry.
It starts in May, middle of May.
Okay.
And then there is a workshop once a month. And until
September.
Yeah, first 2 weeks of September. I don't think we have nailed down the final day yet. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a weekend for the hunt. We know that, a weekend or a holiday mm-hmm. for the final hunt, because you have to get up early in the morning to hunt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're interested, Catherine's phone number is 928-341-4070.
Perfect. Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. And if I want to know more, I could probably go to the Facebook page. Is there a link there as well?
Absolutely.
Probably. Yeah. Okay.
We've posted about it. It's there. You'll see it. Mm-hmm. All the information and flyers also on our Facebook page.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Tanya and Shauna, any other words of advice before we go?
Be adventurous.
Yeah. Be adventurous. Get out there. Yeah. Enjoy our beautiful state.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really appreciate you coming on and such short notice. I know it was a little bit of a short notice, but mm-hmm. you've been so pleasant, and maybe we'll have to have you on again.
Yeah.
Likewise, thank you guys mm-hmm. for your time.
Yep.
It's been fun.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.